conversation with Gregory Copley, my colleague and friend. They go to the Times of London. The King and Queen are in Nairobi, Kenya, on the first day of 4 days in Kenya at the beginning of the King's tour of the Commonwealth, many states to attend to. I read from the Times report in these last hours. The King has told the Kenyan people of his sorrow and, quote, deepest regret at the, quote, unjustifiable acts of violence, end quote, carried out by Britain against Mau Mau rebels in the 1950s. In a powerful speech that stopped short of the apology demanded by some Kenyans, the King said there can be no excuse, in quotes, for the abuses carried out by Kenya's colonial rulers. Speaking at the banquet at the end of the first day of the state visit, Charles I, a Commonwealth country since becoming king, he spoke of the, quote, shared history that has brought our people together. Gregory, help the audience understand the Commonwealth, what is it, and what is the responsibility of the King, what is the obligation of the King to the Commonwealth, and the apology, short of the apology, is that wise? Thank you.
It was definitely wise for the King not to make an apology, because that's looking at the events of the colonial era and the early colonial era, that not the late colonial era, through modern eyes. The Commonwealth itself is it's a voluntary association of countries which almost all had belonged to Britain as part of a colonial empire around the world. Some of them, most of them actually, were given independence peacefully. In the case of Kenya, there was violence from the Mau Mau rebellion, but the Mau Mau didn't express the overwhelming wishes of all of the Kenyans at that time, remember, because the Mau Mau themselves were a cult, and they engaged in such barbarism as to make, if you like, the role of the British at the time look fairly civilized. The Mau Mau did that deliberately so that their members, having committed such heinous crimes, could not then go back to an ordinary life and would be committed to staying with the Mau Mau revolt against the British. Having said that, a lot of these Commonwealth countries, by the way, the Commonwealth has expanded to include countries which were not part of the British Empire in the past, including, for example, Rwanda, and there are other states as well. But some of them became republics, and some of them acknowledge the king of or queen of the United Kingdom as sovereign of their country. Kenya, however, was very significantly went to the path of becoming a parliamentary republic. So its head of state is its president, and the new president, William Ruto, is the host to King Charles at this point, this visit. But it's been, I think, a very important and healing visit. Charles is the right person to do this because, although you might remember, I think Queen Elizabeth found out about the death of her father, King George VI, while she was on her honeymoon in Kenya. So there was there are strong links there as well between Kenya and Britain. But King Charles has this long history of intolerance toward inhuman activities, including slavery, and he's been a strong critic of the slaving role of Britain and other countries in the world through history. But the fact is that Kenya is a united country today because of its position as a British colony, and it still follows British traditions widely. So I think the visit is going to be one which King Charles will be seen as being supportive and sympathetic. It was a good place to start his Commonwealth tour because he's able to give a very human touch to this situation. And, this is going to set the stage for a lot of other positive things.
I learn about Kenya in that it is right now politically unusual in that it supports Ukraine against the Russian invasion. It supports Israel in defending itself. It's very keen on participating in European affairs. It welcomes investment. It's burdened by Chinese loans from the Belt and Road Initiative. That was the previous president, Mr. Kenyatta. So it has a lot of debt to work off. The Chinese did not complete, what a surprise, Gregory, did not complete the road system and the railroad they promised. And so the president is renegotiating all of that. It's also disposed to welcome the United States' offices as well in developing the people of Kenya. And it has that exposure to Somalia in the north with a refugee camp fleeing the jihadists. So it's in the fight against the jihad, so much so that I puzzle about all the burden on a country that's also dealing with the advances of the Chinese and the jihadists at the same time. Do you measure that?
Yes.
Europe will respond? We have about a minute. Europe will respond to Kenya asking for aid in its challenges.
Well, I think Britain remains close in trade and political terms with Kenya. Kenya has a fairly advanced economy. It does do extensive trade with not only with Britain, but the rest of Europe. So it's very pragmatic about the need for continued investment relations between Europe and Kenya. So Kenya, that makes it even more of an important right. first visit by King Charles. And the question is, can this bolster the government of President Ruto while he attempts to either renegotiate or get Kenya out of its debt obligations, which were artificially, achieved with right. the uh-huh. with the Kenyatta government in the past with the Belt and Road Initiative.
Gregory Copley.
These were punitive.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. King Charles in Kenya. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.